this evening for our Bible study and prayer meeting. It's lovely to meet with those of like precious faith. But our meeting would be in vain if God wasn't here. And you know what the Lord has done? He's given us a promise. Where the two and three are gathered in his name, he's promised to be in our midst. We live in interesting days. I think that's about the only way we could describe it. But as God's people, we have a great God who is sovereign and in control. I often think of Egypt. When the Egyptians were afflicted by the plague and they suffered there in the land of Goshen, for the children of God, the Hebrews, lived. They were untouched. God preserved his people. May God preserve his people in these days. And may we be like the psalmist. Just learn to trust him. You read Psalm 91, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." And he says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noontide." What did the psalmist do? He just learned to trust God. He took God at his word. Maybe those that just learn to trust God, to rest in him and in his promises. So welcome each one to the house of God this evening. I'll turn in my hymn book to the Psalm 122, and we'll stand together and we'll sing this Psalm 122. "I joyed when to the house of God. Go up, they said to me, Jerusalem, within thy gates our feet shall standing be." So I think we'll stand to sing this Psalm 122, please. We'll just seek the Lord in prayer. Let's just still our hearts. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, make us conscious that we come into the presence of a holy God. Reminded, Lord, in heaven, how the angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy." And Lord, a holy God has called us as thy people unto holiness. And Lord, as we come before thee, we acknowledge and confess our sin, that we've sinned in thought, in word, and deed. And yet, Lord, we're reminded from thy word, there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. That if we confess our sin, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst give us clean hands and a pure heart. We thank you, Lord, for our Redeemer and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the giving of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for his miraculous birth, virgin born. We thank you, Lord, for his sinless life. We thank you, Lord, that he went about doing good. And Lord, as we're reminded in thy word, he could do nothing else. For they that know to do good and do it not, it is sin. And yet Jesus Christ was without sin. We thank you, Lord, that he is this sinless, spotless Lamb of God, who gave himself a ransom for many, that he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We thank you, Lord, that it is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses and keeps on cleansing us from sin. We rejoice, Lord, that there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and that Jesus Christ, he died suffering the wages of sin, which is death, on behalf of his people, and that he is risen for our justification, that Jesus Christ has conquered death, and that he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. And we who were dead in sins and in trespasses, we rejoice, Lord, that thou hast breathed life into our soul. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst increase our faith. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wouldst give us more of thy Spirit. We cry unto thee, Lord, that thou wouldst make us more like Jesus Christ. Conform us, Lord, to the image of thy dear Son. Thank you, Lord, even of the fruit of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, in these days to be fruitful Christians. Lord, we think of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. Lord, how Jesus Christ had these qualities in infinite measure, for he was filled with the Spirit without measure. And yet, Lord, we pray that such qualities would be seen in our lives. Help us, Lord, to love Thee with all our heart, soul, and mind. Lord, if You love me, keep my commandments. Lord, may there be desire to do the will of God, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbour as ourselves. Lord, that people would take note that we have been with Jesus. We pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst bless our coming together this evening. Lord, we thank You for each one gathered. We pray You would bless each one, bless the homes that are represented here. Lord, we pray that we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth. May we be taken up with our God, be able to say in our heart, how great Thou art. Oh Lord, we thank You that we can come to Thee, that we can praise Thee, that we can cast our care upon Thee, knowing, Lord, with assurance that Thou dost care for us. And Lord, we pray that You would strengthen us in the inner man. Bless the people of God here. We pray, Lord, for the pastor and his wife and family, that Thou wouldst bless him as well, and that he would be a blessing to the congregation here and the neighbourhood around. Oh Lord, that he would be God's man with God's message here in this part of Thy vineyard. Oh Father, we pray that You would help us to lift up our eyes and look unto Thee, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we pray that You would help us simply to take Thee at Thy word. Lord, for those that are filled with anxiety, Lord, that Thou wouldst teach us to be careful for nothing. Help us, Lord, to be thankful in everything. Oh Lord, that we would fear not, that we would fret not, that we would learn simply to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We pray You would bless the congregation here. Bless, Lord, our Free Presbyterian denomination. And we pray, Lord, across this the Northern Ireland. We pray for Southern Ireland. We pray right across the mainland. We pray, Lord, for every faithful witness that uplifts the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst bless as Thy word would go forth with that promise that it will not return unto Thee void. O Lord, we look to Thee. We pray, Lord, for those who have the rule over us. We pray, Lord, that as we're commanded to pray for our leaders, that they might enact good and godly laws, that we as Thy people might live peaceable and quiet lives. And Lord, we pray that You'd help us to pray for those that have the rule over us. We pray, Lord, too, for the royal family, that You'd work in their hearts and turn them from their sin and waywardness and turn them unto Thee. And Lord, how we're reminded from Thy word that even the king's heart is in the Lord's hand. And Lord, Thou canst turn it wherever Thou dost well. We pray, Lord, for our families. Lord, for those outside of Christ. Lord, those maybe backslidden away from the fold. We pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst work in their hearts. Lord, backsliders be brought back to Thee. Lord, the lost find peace through the blood of the cross. And Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst exalt Thy great name. Make bare Your mighty arm. Bless us, we pray. Lord, be in our midst, we ask. And Lord, we realize, Lord, our days that we live in seem to be difficult. And yet, Lord, may we be mindful that there are those of Thy people across this world who suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. Lord, who suffer beatings, imprisonment. Some are even confronted with death for simply being a witness of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that You would help us to, in our day, to be faithful to Thee. May we never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Give, Lord, in our hearts a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Make us more like Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, in these days to be witnesses. Lord, Thou hast called us to be witnesses. Thou hast called us to be ambassadors. And Lord, Thou hast even called us to be soldiers. Lord, to fight the good fight of faith. Bless us now, we pray. Be in our midst, we ask this evening. Lord, we claim Thy promise. Thou hast said it. Thou hast declared it. Where the two and three are gathered in Your name, You've given Your word that Thou wouldst be in our midst. Lord, we pray that You would be in our midst. Give us hearing ears. Give us, Lord, understanding hearts. And bless the time together. Asking these things in our Saviour's name and for His glory. Amen. Turn once again and worship God, singing the hymn number 192. 192. We'll stand to our feet and just sing this. O Word of God incarnate, O wisdom from on high, O truth unchanged, unchanging, O light of our dark sky. We'll stand just to sing this hymn 192, O Word of God incarnate. We'll turn to the Word of God, and we'll turn to the book of Job. I'm sure
Most of you are aware of Job. I'm sure you're aware, it's in modern day parlance, the patience of Job. So we're going to turn to Job and the chapter 1, and we'll read a few verses commencing at the verse 1. And the opening verse says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job." Do you know what? There are some Bible scholars who say this is only a story. Job never existed. The Bible faithfully declares there was a man whose name was Job. Could you imagine if Job never existed and people say, "Oh, what's a lovely story?" What hope would that give to God's people? Yes, an imaginary man existed. He went all through this, but it didn't really happen. What comfort it is that Job was a real man and he went through real difficulties, and God, by his grace, brought him through. What an encouragement. What hope for God's people in the midst of difficulty and darkness, that God can bring his people through. And Job trusted God. So there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, mature, upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So this was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word. Here's a man, Job. His name, the word Job, his name actually means in the Hebrew, hated. Isn't that amazing? Somebody hates this man, Job. It's interesting from the Hebrew, the word hated, but we see a man that is blessed. He has been blessed of God. And I love the way the Bible puts the order of how he is blessed. If we were to say, here's a man that's blessed, and I think we live close to a rural community, people would often say the number of cattle they have, the number of sheep they have. That's not how the Holy Spirit puts it down. He says he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And children, do you know what they are? They're the heritage of the Lord. This man is blessed. He's blessed with children. And then God has blessed him abundantly with sheep and cattle. God has blessed this man abundantly. What else do we learn of Job? He was a godly man. The opening verse says he was perfect. That doesn't mean that he was sinlessly perfect. He was a mature, godly man who sought to follow the Lord. He was upright. He was honest in his dealings. He was one that feared God and eschewed evil. You could look at Job and say, this man is honest. Here's a man you can trust. Here's a man who can he deals with integrity. That's how this book opens about Job. But isn't it lovely words what God says about him in verse 8? It says there, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth." God says of Job, think of this for a moment. Here's God's testimony of Job. He's a perfect, he's an upright man. God says of Job, he's one that fears me. And he eschews evil. What a testimony that God gives of this man who works or who walks this word. A couple of thousand years ago, they reckon Job was of the time or thereabouts of Abraham. And he walked and he followed God. What a testimony. If he had a testimony before God like that, what must his testimony have been like amongst people? What a witness Job provided in his day and age. And I trust we as God's people that we will witness a good confession in this world, that people will take note that we have been with Jesus. But this evening, there's a couple of verses that I would like to leave with you that we might consider, contemplate, and maybe in your own time take further study into this man's life, Job. And the verses I would like to leave with you this evening are verse 6 and 7, and maybe part of 8, if time permits. We read these words. "Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth? A perfect, upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." With the word of God open, let's just seek the Lord in prayer. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for thy word. We thank you, Lord, the entrance of thy word, it gives light, gives understanding unto the simple. We pray, Lord, you would help us to understand thy word. Help us, Lord, to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Bless us this time together. Bless hearer, bless speaker alike. Asking these things in our Saviour's name and for his glory. Amen. This evening I just want to consider an audacious Satan comes among the people of God. An audacious Satan comes among the people of God. And here we have verse 6. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came amongst them." I know there are many commentators suggest these events occurred in heaven. I'm not going to be dogmatic, but I actually don't think these events occurred in heaven. I believe these events occurred on earth. Because it says here, now, and please bear with me, don't jump to any conclusion, say, well, I've never heard this before, and therefore it must be wrong, but please bear with me a minute, and I'll try and give you an angle of why I came to such a conclusion. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves." So we have a picture here of a group of people that the scriptures here terms the sons of God. And what is it they do? They come together. What to do? To present themselves before the Lord. What is it, or what's been referred to? Who's been referred to here when we see this term, the sons of God? Because it says there was a day, there was a time when The sons of God assembled themselves together to present themselves before the Lord. What possibly could it mean? Who's often referred to as the sons of God? The New Testament, Paul reminds us that God gives to his people his Spirit. What might they do when God gives them his Spirit? That they might call him Abba Father. He refers to the people of God as being adopted into his family. We are often referred to as children. The children of the living God. Why? Because we've been born again of his Spirit. And what's the picture here, I believe, is the people of God. In Job's day, those who followed God came together to present themselves before God to worship him. What are we doing right now? What do you do on a Sunday when the people of God, they come together, they assemble together, they meet together with a purpose to present themselves before God, to praise him, to worship him in spirit and in truth? And they come together, and it's interesting because you can go to Hebrews, and what does Paul, again, I'll use Paul, I believe, is the writer to Hebrews. He says, we're not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. And that word assemble is to come together in one place, to be together, to worship God. And we often quote that verse. It's interesting when you read the next verse after it, that as the day approaches, we should meet more, not less. And the day in mind that Paul has is the return of Jesus Christ. And the closer we get to the end of time, we, the people of God, should be gathering together in one place to praise him. More, not less. And so here I believe we have before us the people of God. They come together to worship God. And what does God promise when his people meet? He says, where the two and three are gathered in my name, he promises to be in the midst. God has given a promise when the people of God meet together, assemble in one place to meet with him, to worship him, to praise him. He gives his word to be there in the midst. And when you see these verses and you begin to read them and you see God's challenge to Satan, God's in the presence with his people. But look at this, and Satan came also among them. Isn't this an amazing picture? Satan, how audacious, how brazen, how arrogant can you get when you see Satan, the adversary, the enemy of God? He has a brass neck to come amongst the people of God when they're there to worship God and to worship him in spirit and in truth. We get an insight into the character of Satan, what he's really like. He is brazen, he is arrogant, and he's prepared to slip in to this meeting where the people of God gather to worship God, where God is, and he comes amongst the people of God. That word, Satan, is an invulnerable adversary. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the experience in your workplace, maybe someone you've met. Whatever you say the opposite. If you say black, without thinking, they respond by saying white. If you say white, they will say black. They just want to be contrary. That's that thought behind this word, Satan. He's an adversary. Whatever God says, he will do the opposite. To be hostile against Almighty God. And yet we see the audacity of Satan as he comes. When God's people gather to worship God. And God is there in the midst. So we see the people of God, they gather together to worship. God's in the midst. And Satan has the audacity to come in amongst the people of God. Let's turn now to verse 7 and see what occurs. Let's look at these words, "and the Lord." Now, in the Hebrew, this word "and" is ve. It is a thought of what occurred, what happened next. What event happened in this sequence of events? So we have the picture before us. The people of God meet together. They come to praise God. They come to worship God. God's in the midst. Satan is in the midst. And the next thing that happens is the Lord, Jehovah, he challenges Satan. For here's what he says to him. "Whence comest thou?" These words could be translated, "What are you doing here? Where have you come from? What have you been up to?" And God challenges Satan here in this gathering. Now, let me say something here. From these events unfolds Job's trials. But Job is oblivious to all these events going on. Job doesn't, as it were, see behind the curtain of these events going on around him. That Satan has come in the midst. That God has challenged him. And that Job is actually will be the subject matter of this discussion. Job is completely oblivious to this. And through his trials and difficulties in the days, the weeks and the months to come in his life, he will still be unaware of these events going on. It's unseen, but it's still real. And God challenges Satan and he says to him, "From whence are you coming? What are you doing?" God issues a challenge to Satan. Now, it's worth bearing in mind and understanding that God is sovereign, that God is omniscient, that God is omnipotent. God doesn't have to ask this question of Satan. God already knows what Satan is up to, but he issues him with a question. And we'll get an insight into Satan's character as he answers this question, as he provides a response to this question. And it's often very enlightening when you see people's response to questions. Because here he's challenged Satan. "What are you doing here? What have you been up to? Where have you been?" Let's look at Satan's response. And now I'll qualify it with a deceptive response. So it might give you a clue, because we know that Satan is a liar. We know that Satan is a murderer, but he provides a half-truth. And you know, the most difficult thing to pin down is half-truths. When there's an element of truth in it. Let's look at the words, Satan's response. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said." Now, when you see those words together, often in the Old Testament, but you'll see those words, "answered and said." And you think, is that just a double "answered and said"? Is this just repeating itself? Actually, it's not. When you see those two words together, "answered and said," it's the thought of thinking, formulating a response in your mind, and then articulating what you have thought in your mind. So you can see the scene here. God asks and utters a question. He challenged Satan. "What are you doing here?" Satan has been confronted with a question. So he thinks up in his mind an answer. And then he articulates it. That's that thought here. "Answered and said." And here's what Satan says. "From going to and fro in the earth. And from walking up and down in it." Here's what Satan says. "Oh, I've just been walking around. I've been going here. I've been going there. In fact, it sounds so genteel that he's been off for a leisurely walk in the countryside. When you look at those words and they seem so soft, they seem so genteel, you would think it's like an innocent old person going out for a walk who would create no trouble whatsoever. This is Satan's answer. Could I say, his answer is partially true. But these words, while partially true, are spoken to deceive. Have you any means by testing these words that Satan has uttered? Have you any thoughts on how we could test from Scripture how Satan is acting here? Well, maybe let's turn to Peter. Turn for a moment to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 5. Here's Peter writing under the inspiration of God. Here's what Peter says. Verse 7, just for the context. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He's saying, be sober. He's saying, be vigilant. And here's the reason why. Because your adversary, the devil. So people of God, you've an enemy, Satan. Your adversary, the devil, what's he doing? As a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. See what Satan was saying? I'm just going here and there. I've just been out for a walk on the earth. It's a half-truth because it says here, he goeth about, walketh about. The Holy Spirit reveals how? Like a lion. And he's seeking whom he may devour. He wasn't out for an innocuous walk in the countryside. He was out prowling, seeking whom he may devour and eat up. God, I believe, knew exactly what Satan was up to. He challenges him, and we see from Satan's response his half-truths, his lies, his deception. And he says here, oh, I've just been walking to and fro on the earth. It seems innocuous. Have you ever heard such statements before? I listen often to the radio. I don't watch television. I listen to the radio, and often you'll hear people brought on and they'll be asked a question and they'll give you a half-truth. Why does people utter half-truths? Because they seek to deceive. And Satan seeks to deceive. And he seeks to destroy. He's a subtle foe. And he's one of the enemies of the people of God. He will give half-truths, but its intention is to deceive. We ought to ask God for wisdom, for understanding. And let's be honest, by ourselves, we will never defeat his machinations. We require the wisdom of God. We require the word of God, that we might hide it in our hearts, that we might have wisdom. When you think of Jesus Christ, when he was tempted in the wilderness, when Satan came to him, how did Jesus respond every time? He went to the word of God and he says, it is written. So here we see this dialogue, as it were. We see this challenge from God to Satan. And then there's that verse 8. And what happens next? After Satan utters his response to this question, here's what the Lord says. Jehovah. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Satan says, I've just been up, out, walking about, here and there. He doesn't say he's out and about like a roaring lion. And then the Lord says, hast thou considered my servant Job? Again, I'm going to differ slightly from some people who suggest that God says to Satan, would you like to consider my servant Job? It was like as if he was offering Job up. The Hebrew can be interpreted another way. We could say, God said, have you been considering my servant Job? While you've been out and about walking up and down, and God knows like a roaring lion, in his walking round about, he has been considering God's servant Job. And God challenges Satan once again. Have you been considering my servant Job? And here's God's testimony of him. Perfect, upright, one who fears God and eschews evil. Have you been considering my servant Job? And the reason I believe it's that kind of language is because of Satan's response in the next verses. What is it Satan says? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? If you were asked a straight question like that, have you been considering my servant Job? The answers really are limited. It's either yes or it's no. It's the deceiver who doesn't answer and give a straight answer, yes or no, to such a blunt question. It's as if Satan, like the proverbial politician, weaves out of having to provide a straight answer. He says, does Job fear God for naught? Examine verse 10. Look what he says. Hast thou not made an hedge about him? Have you not put a hedge about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. How did Satan know all that? How did Satan know that God had put a hedge around him? How was Satan able to say, you've put a hedge around him? You've protected him around him? I would suggest Satan has been looking at Job, examining Job, and seeing what was around about him. I know the troubles are well in our past, but I'm conscious from terrorists in the past, what they often did was do raccis on their targets. They knew exactly what was where and there around people's homes, police stations. They knew exactly what the walls were like. Why? Because they had investigated it. And this is exactly what Satan has done. He has been investigating Job. Job has been the subject of his targeting. And God asks him the question. And Satan seeks to excuse. He seeks to say, push it away as if he wasn't interested. But he has been. And he knows all about Job. And he says, Job only serves you because of what you give him. That's the only reason Job serves you, God, is because of what you've blessed him with. Do you know what? See, if God, you take that away from him, Job, I'll curse you to your face. This challenge isn't just about Job. It's about God and the faith that God gave to Job. Job, would he continue to trust God in difficulty? And I'm sure most of you know the response of Job. It's a familiar phrase, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Think of those words for a minute. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Though God, you take my life away, I'm going to continue to trust you. And we know the events that befell Job and the difficulties that he had to contend with. But he continued to trust God. Satan, he's a devious fool. Job, he's unaware of these events going on in the spiritual realm. I can't say for certain, what did such events continue to happen? I just do not know. But this passage gives us an insight into what happens beyond our own eyesight. That we've got an enemy of the soul who seeks to attack the people of God. May we learn to trust him. May we learn to trust in God and seek his face. May we rest in the word of God and his promises. I know time is almost gone, but I just want to bring you to one portion just to help us think, to get an angle and an insight into from another perspective.
God can't help you with that at the moment.
Sorry, I've used this as my clock. To get an insight into another angle from Satan. We see him here, his behaviour towards Job and with God. Let's just turn for a moment to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. It's just one portion and we'll soon be finished. Matthew 4. Verse 1 it says, "Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said," there's Jesus answering and saying, what's it he says? "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" Think about that portion just for a moment. Think of Jesus Christ. Who is he? He's the Son of God. And he's the Son of Man. He's truly God. And he's truly man. The scriptures tells us elsewhere that Jesus hungered. He knew what it was to experience hunger. And here for 40 days, Jesus hasn't eaten. And now Satan comes and he tempts him. And look how he tempts him. Look at the point of attack. Jesus, yes, he's human, he's hungered. And he puts in a question. It's subtly worded. He's questioning his deity. "If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." You know what? Sometimes when we're challenged, and if you can do this, prove it to me. Satan's saying, prove to me that you are the Son of God. Turn these stones into bread. What a temptation, for Jesus is human. He's hungered. It is a temptation. But look how Jesus responds. He quotes the scriptures. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." He continues to rest upon the word of God. Now, I'm going to ask you to think a little bit. I hope you've been thinking through the service. I want you to think a little bit more. I'm going to give you a hypothetical situation. It's hypothetical. I need to reiterate this. It is hypothetical. It never happened. Could never happen. But I'm going to ask you a question. Sometimes in my study, I sit down and try and contemplate these things. If, and that's why I say it's only hypothetical, if Jesus had turned those stones into bread. Have you any idea how Satan might, and I say might, have responded? Have you any idea how you think he might have responded in such a hypothetical scenario? Any ideas? My view, and it's only my view, but I throw it out just to make us think, because I think it shows you the wiliness of Satan. I reckon if Jesus had turned them into bread, Satan would say, "But surely man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." What I'm trying to show you is the subtlety of Satan. That he is a subtle foe. And the only one is the word of God that can conquer. May God make us good students of his word. May God give us wisdom and understanding. And may we learn to trust God and not to be deceived. We trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not in our own understanding. From Job, we see a picture of what the enemy of souls is like. We look at Matthew and how he attacks the Saviour. We see the subtlety of the serpent and how often he tempts people to sin and then he throws it back in their face. May God give us wisdom and understanding in these days. We know his word. And may we be able to say in our hearts, "God, though you slay me, yet will I trust him." Amen. We've some time together. We'll seek the Lord in prayer. We've a God that hears and answers prayer. You can read it in Proverbs. Do what God says. He delights in the prayers of his people. God loves to hear his people pray. God's people praying brings delight to the heart of God. May we be God's people and seek him in prayer this evening. I'll just lead off and then we'll leave it for a period of time. Those wish to pray, we'll pray and seek the Lord. Let's just still our hearts. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come before thy face and wait before thee. We thank you, Lord, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary, walk and not faint. We rejoice, Lord, in thy promise that you've said, "The Lord Jehovah is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." Lord, we rejoice in thy word, for you've said, "You will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." May our minds be stayed upon thee. Bless us, Lord, we pray this evening. Bless the time of prayer. Encourage us to pray, to seek thy face. And Lord, that thou wouldst be pleased, even in these days, to make bare your mighty arm. Show thy people in these days, Lord, tokens for good. Encourage us, we pray. Build us up in our most holy faith. Strengthen us in the inner man, we pray. Realize, Lord, that we live in difficult days. We rejoice, Lord, that thou art sovereign and that thou art in control. And Lord, we thank you that even in the life of Job, how thou didst put a boundary on Satan and what he could do. We rejoice, Lord, that thou art sovereign and thou still puts a boundary upon him. Bless this time, we pray together. Teach us, Lord, to pray. O Lord, we think of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. We pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. Bless us now, we ask, in Jesus' name and for his glory.